We appreciate your interest in hearing of the work over in Kenya. So we're going to just break in at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Then who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Trust the Lord will bless the reading of His Word and the thoughts that we'll share. And so just briefly, I was meditating and thinking upon what portion to speak of, and my mind had initially gone to Matthew chapter 28 and at the end of that chapter. And it says there that at the end of verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach." Or preach, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I initially had thought of that portion, and although it is very applicable, this portion also came in 1 Corinthians, and so we won't spend much time on it. But I just wanted to read that portion. And thinking of the work in Kenya, here in Canada as well, but the damage of a lot of false teaching over there and westernized teaching and so on of prosperity gospel and the corruption that is I'm going to use the canopy of religious work. For, you know, and so on. So under that canopy of religion, there's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, and that is here in Canada as well. And over there, it just seems to be quite strong as it is here, but in a different sense. And it's very unfortunate because they don't have a lot, and so when those teachings are given, it puts a lot of strain on the believers there that don't have much when they teach these false teachings, or when they do in a good way but also pry on their generosity and their acts of worship to the Lord in their giving. But I was just thinking here of these ones that it says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And so throughout that land, there's been many. The gospel has been going on in Africa for many years, and in Kenya, and as well as down in Zambia, where we have many good friends, and it goes on. And there have been many that have come over the years and have seen a great work for the Lord. And as I've mentioned and asked for prayer for Mom and Dad, and folks, thinking of this verse here, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so Mom and Dad are at the phase, or the portion of their life where they are being their health and other circumstances, I believe, are leading them back to Canada to refocus their ministry here, and I believe it could involve working with Muslims here. And so just thinking of that and of those who have gone before and how the torch has been passed on to different ones that have labored over there, and there are still many that are there, and I'll speak a little bit about their the work that they were involved in there at the Manna Bible Institute, and in view of this portion here of those who planted and others water, but God giving the increase. And that is applicable here in Canada as well. But just thinking of that there. And so, just thinking of there, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, in verse 10, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And so again, the need for solid teaching there, but also here, and how, again, corruption has come into the church, for the sake of a better word, into the work of the gospel over there. And so every man's work shall be made manifest. You know, that goes for us as well. And so as believers, we need to be very cautious of how we build upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and building upon those things that would be consumed at the judgment seat of Christ, that we are not we're not preaching for man, we're preaching for the Lord, and we're seeking to serve the Lord in the work, and that anything that would be consumed by fire at the judgment seat would be burned. But we would see that, and we wouldn't get to that stage, but we would, with the help of the Lord, we would see, and we would just preach Christ and Christ crucified and God's love and God's forgiveness. And so very important in that regard. And so, verse 9 is what I'd like to look at here. For we are laborers together, fellow workers, as my margin says, together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. For ye are God's laborers, fellow workers, together with God. And so that's very interesting. We're not fellow workers alone. We're fellow workers together with God. And we were over in Matheson, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says there, they were preaching on this verse, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that was very, they emphasized that, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's although we work for the Lord, it is the work of the Lord. And so just thinking of that in relation to anything that we do in service for the Lord, it's in service for Him, but it's His work, and He is choosing to use us in that work. And what a great privilege we have, whether here or anywhere, to be for God to choose us to be part of His work. He doesn't need us, but He chooses to use us, and what a privilege we have in that, and wherever we are, and however the Lord leads us. And so, that was just a little introduction to some of the thoughts that I've been thinking of. And just thinking of verse 9, for we are laborers together with God, as ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And so, thinking of that as we went over, there were many that were praying for us. There were many that supported us practically as well. And so, there are many scriptures, but you are laborers, fellow workers with God in that. And so, we each have a part. And as we pray for the different workers that are out there, we think of the ministers in Papua New Guinea and so many others. Think of Heather's mom and dad in Kenya. We think of the Coonies in Ireland. We think of Sean and Vera O'Byrne as they would be going to Belize shortly. They were introducing that at the conference in Matheson yesterday. And so there are many that we pray for that are out in the mission field. And so as we pray for them, we are laborers, fellow workers together with God. And so I'm going to look at a little bit of the work that's going on over in Kenya and in our trip as well, where we're over there. So, as you know, it's over by the Horn. Somalia is up at the right in here, and they have very Muslim, very strong Muslim influence. And the Al Qaeda has a branch called the Al Shabaab, and they're very strong in Somalia. And the extremist Muslim group can be quite violent, and so great influence on, and we'll talk a little bit about that over in relation to there. So there's Nairobi, the capital. We were just outside, more about to the west of Nairobi, just out in the country, and then we went down to Mombasa. Last time we were there, we went to Malindi. And Heather's mom and dad do a lot of work in Garissa, and so I'll just mention a little bit about that. I think Yeah, we were already in with you here in fellowship, and when we talked about the shooting of 140 some people in Garissa at a college, a university, and Mom and Dad were only a few kilometers away, and so that's where they go. We had hoped to go, but our insurance wouldn't allow us to go. Or well, we could have gone, but if something had happened, we wouldn't have been covered, and so we just decided we better not venture into that area because of the known violence. And so, great work there. Mom and Dad have a worker up there that they've been working with. He was actually involved in one of the attacks there, and Stephen. And he's got, I think I mentioned that he had some shrapnel still in him from that attack. And so he's laboring for the Lord there with others. And Mom and Dad are going to be, Dad, at least in his tools, they're trying to set up a school there to teach the trades, as well as ministry and the Bible. And so Dad's going to send a lot of his things to him, to Stephen, when they go, before they go, in support of that ministry and teaching skills and trades, but also to help in that. So that's a little bit of Kenya and the way it's broken up. And as we flew to Mombasa, we could see Mount Kilimanjaro over in here somewhere, and all we saw was the Arctic portion of Kili, well above the clouds. Half of us saw it on the way there, and the other half of us saw it on the way back, because of the side you're sitting on in the plane. And it's quite a mountain. We were probably, I don't know, 50 miles away, but it's huge. Heather went there with a field trip. I don't think they made it. They didn't go to the top. You just went part. You didn't go at all. Okay. But I thought you had. But part of the school at RVA, I think they had gone from RVA. She just wasn't part of that group. This is what we got. We, after several hours of flying and a few layovers, Germany, I thought we were going to walk to Toronto by the time we got to, from one terminal to the other. That was interesting on the way over. So anyways, when we got there, it was in the evening, yeah, and I think this was the next day. Yeah, it was late, it was dark when we got back to the house, and this is in Swahili. Heather's mom had put it up for us. It's Keribu, welcome, in Swahili, and so that was quite nice to see. I think we saw it when we got there through the haze in our eyes, but we were able to enjoy that when we woke up. This was down at Mombasa. I had this mom and dad on the left and the right, and you know the rest in between. And so that was down there. This is at mom and dad's, just outside in the yard. This was our first Sunday there. Our first Sunday, we went with them to one of the groups of believers that they just outside of, well, in Cairn, near where they used to live. And we had the privilege of being able to go with them there, and that was that on the Sunday morning, the first Sunday. After we landed on Friday, and this was on that Sunday. This is Heather's mom and dad's house. If you don't gate it, you lose it, and it's pretty much the philosophy there and the way you live. They did have this open at one time, but they have, I believe, part of the reason was is they had dogs, and they do have dogs, but it was just too difficult having it open. People would tease the dogs and so on, and so. Just to give it a little more privacy, they closed that in. Just a few more views. Church that Mom and Dad are supported by out of Kitchener built the house for them. And then, so when Mom and Dad leave to come home, they'll leave that. Of course, they don't own it. And Lord willing, somebody will fill that for them. Two dogs, Missy and Pepe's back end. Missy was... Ridgeback, Rottweiler, smart as a whip, and Pepe was as dumb as a stump. So, I believe we were told that after we left, Pepe was leaving. So, this is for the men. This is Dad's garage. There's a couple sea cans. Dad's shop. As a missionary, you don't throw out anything. You break a drill, you keep a drill. Because you may need it for some other part. And Dad's got this thing with peanut butter jars, and they're there, and That's for the men. This is for the women. This is Mom's kitchen. And Dad, some of Dad's handiwork in the cabinets and so on. Just some of the living quarters. This is our room, Heather and I, and the boys. We got there in the winter. Didn't feel like winter. It was 25 degrees in the middle of the day. But that was their winter. And normally you would have to sleep with these. The last time we were there in 2001, we did. And the mosquito nets to malaria can be quite bad. We took malaria medication, and we were thankful to the Lord to get off it. We ended up stopping it early. It was horrible. And so we felt we'd rather take the chance of getting malaria. Heather's had malaria, and it's not great, but we were at the season where it wasn't too bad. So we skipped out on the bug nets and eventually on the malaria medicine. Some of the ministry opportunities, that's what I like to focus on the most for us. And some of the things that we were involved in there. So Heather had the privilege of speaking with a bunch of ladies over there. And this lady is Mercy. She was Heather's interpreter. Although Heather can speak Swahili, she didn't quite feel comfortable enough carrying on a message in it. And so this lady on the left here is a missionary from Brazil, Maurice, I think is how you say it. Here. And so in this, Heather had been asked by her mom to give. Heather's mom has a monthly ladies' tea with Muslim ladies, but also some other Christians that come to support. But the main focus is on the Muslim ladies to try and present the gospel. And so Ramadan had just finished on the 6th, the day that we left. And so this is on the Monday after we got there. And so Heather had been asked to speak and wasn't sure what fully to speak on. And so she came outside. We were working in the shop and asked us to pray with her, and we did. So what she thought of was the ladies had made, some of the Muslim ladies, and that had got and made this quilt for this lady who you can't see. There's another picture, but we just couldn't find it at a quick insert. But so she used this blanket here. They had made it for this dear old lady, and Heather used it in, what did she do to deserve this blanket? And so she used that in relation to the gospel, that it was a gift to her. She didn't deserve it. You know, there's nothing she had done to deserve it. She was a nice lady and so on, but they made it out of love for her and then used that in relation to the gospel and presenting Christ to them through, these are Muslim ladies that aren't saved, that have an awareness by the grace of God, have had an awareness, Mom has seen some amazing conversations with them, in relation to how they react to the presentation of the Lord and of God. And one lady, I'm not going to quote it correctly, but there was a conversation, and the one lady spoke up who was a Muslim, not a believer, and defended God. And I can't remember how she said it, but it was really interesting, really encouraging for Mom how she was able to say, no, you know, don't speak of God in that way or something to that effect. And so it was very encouraging. This is the group of the ladies. Some of these are Christians as well. And there's Mom there and Heather, of course. Sticks out pretty easy. You just look for the white. And there's only three of them. This is the Maurice, the Muslim, or the other missionary. And anyway, so I had the privilege of speaking to these ladies and presenting the Lord to them. And Mom is very discouraged. You can pray for Mom. They've got about 6 months left before they come home. And on Monday, they had the last one that she had. One lady came out, and she had seen several. And just pray for that work. It's a tremendous opportunity. They knit and chat, and she presents Christ. And there had been a good movement, but I'm not sure what's going on there, but the devil is working, and whether they are knowing that Mom and Dad are coming home or whatever the situation, but just think of them in that work there. Jacob and Caleb had an opportunity to, Jacob was able to minister to the young people there, and he gave a message to them in the youth group, and Caleb joined in with that as well. This is the youth group here, and we didn't catch all their names, but just some of them. This is the Sunday school building back here, a bigger room and a couple smaller ones. just a tin building there, and we had given out Canada pins. Somebody gave us Canada pins. I think Sue. Yeah, Sue and Mike gave us some Canada pins. We took over and we handed them out to the kids, and they thought that was pretty neat. Weren't sure how to put them on, so that was interesting. Trying to pull the little thing off the back. I was able to speak. The last time we were over, we had went to a chapel there, and I'd been asked before we went over to speak at Heather's Mom and Dad's church. And so this is Pastor Alan here, and he was my interpreter, and I'm assuming that he interpreted what I said. And I know he would have. Pastor Alan is very, very sincere, and I have no doubt. So I had an opportunity to speak to them, and I spoke on being the church versus being part of the church, and how I think I'd use that one here, and how we are to be the church out there in the community versus just being part of it and having, you know, being a Christian and being active for the Lord. Man of Bible Institute. So, Mom and Dad, when they were there, in earlier years, they used to teach at Man of Bible Institute. Mom still does a little bit. And so they were there. So their house was in the Man of Bible Institute compound. So if you figure our property here as the compound and this building as their property or their area within that compound. And so this is the school, part of the schooling area and the dining hall and so on. And then this is the actual church. Dad built this light for them. It's quite neat. It's a blue stained glass, I think, or blue bulbs. And it's quite neat. One thing I should mention about over there, before you build a church, you buy the biggest sound system you can buy. Always buy your sound system before you build your church. And boy, can they crank it up. So the first Sunday, we went to a different church, and till into the evening, they were just praising the Lord out of there. And boy, it was like sitting in the seats right in there, and we were in the house. It was unbelievable. And the Sunday that I spoke, that we were there, I actually had to get up and go out and stand outside the door. I just, Mom wears earplugs, and it was interesting, to say the least. Not quite my style, but we were thankful to be able to be there and worship with them in that way. This is some people that kind of connected to us, some of the kids there. Starting on the left is Macaulay, something like that. Danny with the frisbee. Had no clue how to throw a frisbee. That was interesting to teach them how to throw that. Mwambu beside in here. Mwambi, this little one here. And Robert. We'll speak a little bit more about Robert in a bit. So these guys, this one here, she became my friend. And I showed her a little game. And, you know, you clap hands and so on. And a little school kid game. Well, she had this thing of, she'd go, and then we'd play. And I'm thinking, oh. Yeah, so I'd play along. And she'd just give a little spit, and anyways, it was that was interesting. So this was our soccer field right here, football to them, British influence. Oh yes, this is a Muslim mosque, and Mom and Dad were home, which you all met last year, and so in the time that they were home, this mosque went up, and they put the biggest speakers on that tower and pointed one of them right at Man of Bible Institute. And every morning, usually around 4, sometimes a little bit earlier, call to prayer. Wow, that's something. If you've never heard it, you got to Google it, because YouTube it or something. It's amazing. Not in a good way, but it's not the nicest way to wake up, especially when you combine jet lag. to getting woken up to that. But anyways, they've got a very tremendous opportunity, you know, great privilege of blasting their speakers back on Sunday and presenting Christ to them. And they're very careful and respectful, obviously, but it's difficult. This was obviously Mom and Heather and the housekeeper, Emily, and she was a great help. Took a lot of stress off of Heather and Mom, and she did our dishes and so on. And some nights there was quite a pile. She was a very silent worker, Christian, and Mom and Dad were helping her get computer skills so she can become a secretary or work in an office of some sort, and learning Microsoft Word and so on. Heather had to hold a baby, so she went and Mom took her to find a little girl. This is in the market, just not too far away. This is Robinson, the groundskeeper that Mom and Dad help, and he helps them and takes the stress off of Mom and Dad from the day to day. And he gets paid about, I can't remember, I think it's 1,000 shillings a month, and it'd be about $10 US a month, and that's good. The government regulates if you're hiring somebody, 600 maybe in some shillings as a government regulation. And so Mom and Dad, obviously, as believers, they do pay, they pay them more than the average. And it was about $10. This is Pastor Allen and his wife, Jennifer. And we have Natasha here. And we have AJ and Eric was the newest one. I got to tell it. Poor Pastor Allen. We walked into their house for supper, and he had the nice teal sweater on. And you know how women's sweaters have those loops to hang your sweaters? Well, dear old Pastor Allen had a lady's sweater on. So I hope we didn't let it show on her face. But anyways, it was interesting. Really just sweet people. And I had a really nice time with them and in their little apartment. And the Lord is blessing me. He's got a tremendous heart for the people and preaching the gospel, and just really, really neat opportunity to be with them. Meshach, he was supported by a believer here in helping pay for his school, where money was sent with us to use for the work of the Lord. And so we took that and passed that on to Mom and Dad so that it would get appropriated properly to his fees, and it went towards his school fees over there. These are all pastors at Manna Bible Institute. You come there, you're already a pastor or a teacher of some sort, and there it's just to build you up in the work of the Lord and to give you more skills in going back and presenting Christ and building up the believers. A little bit of work around the school. Robert, that we saw earlier, his little shack, he didn't have any window in it. There's his shack. So we had the privilege of putting a window in. This is his side here. I'm going to say probably about 6 feet, maybe 7 feet long or wide. And this from there to here was maybe 12. And to there was his living room, and from here was his bedroom. And so we had it was actually a tool shed. And so this here is another compound. And I'll really quickly just say that they had raised a lot of money there to build a new cathedral. And the way it works over there, and very thankful for the autonomy that we have, where we're not responsible to anyone other than God. They have local authorities there, regional or district something or other. Well, they needed money. And so they knew that they had money for this cathedral, and they took 200,000 shillings, I think, or U.S. dollars, whatever it was. It was around 200,000 or 300,000 other shillings or U.S. And now they can't build their advancement of building this new church has been halted because the higher up people felt that they needed to skim off of their profits. So, or not their profits, but off of their giving and to the Lord. And so Robert agreed to be the caretaker of this vacant lot. And so just pray for that over there in the commercialization or the difficulties that they face because of, you know, taking money from one group to support another over there. So we had that opportunity to help. And Robert here with his new window in his place. This is Paul, the groundskeeper for Manna Bible Institute, and the firewood there. And Papa Mark, come and cut us. Heather's brother's name is Mark, and so they come and cut us some wood. Well, yeah, it's fine. Nice Canadian chainsaw, but doesn't do so well when the wood's covered in sand. So we had to clean all the wood before we could cut the wood. So that was interesting. One place that's close to our heart, Rift Valley Academy. A little bit about RVA, where Heather went to school, and some others that we know went there. It's fairly high, about 7,000 feet up, and Nairobi's around 5,800, 89. And full school from elementary right through to high school, and then just talks a little bit about some of the things there. The thing about RVA is, as we heard about at the conference yesterday, there's about 70 different faith groups represented there, and what the structure of the school is nationals send their children there as well. So Kenyans will send. There's a tuition fee, but what it does is it's a mission to the missionaries and to the children of the missionaries and to the unsaved, in such that they educate these missionaries' children, so that the parents can serve the Lord wherever they are. And so kids from all over the place go there. Some of Heather's friends, some of my friends, who were mutual friends, but from Sakaji in Zambia went there. Others we have met go there, and that's where one of the schools is American-based. And so when Heather came home, she had to redo grade 12 or take OACs. And so when she came home, she did 6 OACs in 1 year to get into college, because they wouldn't recognize her grade 12, or at least our guidance counselor, who was not one to be liked, didn't think that her grade 12 would be equivalent. So so RVA is a mission in itself in supporting the Lord's work in that way, and helping the children there and present Christ to them. It's a faith-based school. Obviously, it's a Christian school, but also ministering to those who are believers and encouraging them in their walk. Several of Heather's peers have gone back to there, and we met some people that were there when Heather was there as well, and the Atkinsons from out east, and had a really nice time of fellowship with them. This is heading up to RVA. Started out as a mist and ended up in the clouds, literally, and so that was quite interesting. And I was in the front passenger seat on this side, and every so often you'd see a little figure on the left, and it was somebody walking in the cloud, in the fog, and it was it was a little scary at times, to say the least. But anyways, as we were coming back down the mountain, it cleared up. This here is a very significant hole. Heather had some good stories for us in Latin on the way to RVA, and the story goes that I scare you, you scare me, because it's a one-way, and they had some interesting encounters in her time there in 4 years at RVA. Their logo, this is the main administration building, which we drive into, and we parked there, just the monument in front of the school. Got our visitors' tags, just some of the properties, some of the classrooms, and so on. Soccer field down in the back here, just some more of the properties. Real nice basketball court. The gym where Heather broke her tailbone. And really, it's a huge building. It's quite neat. It's concrete, but it's some kind of a, I don't know if the concrete was on there when you were there. I can't. This flooring. But anyways, it's not very forgiving. The bleachers are concrete, and I don't know how they ever made it through some of their presentations and assemblies and so on. But that's a very very interesting place. Very. A lot of devout believers there, of course. They're all devout in serving the Lord. And we had just had graduation, and we had hoped to be there before grad to spend some time and maybe let the kids hang out with some of the classes, but we had missed that. It was like a ghost town, and we were able to find a few people to talk to, and then one fellow, the music director, who led us to the Atkins And he passed us off to somebody who led us to them. And so, it's very interesting, and like I say, very dear to our heart. Elephant Orphanage, so just a little bit of the tour. There, that bottle is about that big, and the nipple was probably about that big, and so he just wraps it around his trunk around it. And so these little bit there, these little fellas range from about that to say about that. Their parents were killed. This is in the Nairobi National Game Park, just a little sliver on the corner, or a portion of it. And their parents were either died naturally, or if they were poached, they can't be in the, if their parents were poached, the babies can't be here. They have a tremendous memory, and they become very violent, and so they need to be kept separate. And so these babies here are just, these guys in the green are their surrogates. They sleep with them, they feed them, they are everything pretty much to them. They just are there to work with them and help them. This is probably the littlest guy, I think, if I remember correctly. He was only about this small, and we were sweating. Well, I wouldn't say fully sweating, but it wasn't super hot. And this little guy had a little blanket on, so that was kind of neat. The giraffe preserve, mom and dad took us there. We had been there last time. I didn't go in 2001, but I think I was preparing to speak or something. But there's Heather. I don't know if any of you have followed us on Facebook while we're over there, but they give out little wood pellets. And not wood, but they're food pellets, but like a wood pellet. And you can put them in your hand and they'll get them out. But I egged her on. I said, so you're Kenyan, eh? Well, put it in your mouth and let them take it out. And so she did. I egged her on. I said, so I prove it. So she did. So she put it in her mouth. And Mr. Giraffe or Mrs. Giraffe has a tongue probably about that long. And it says, slobbery as you could imagine, and then 10 times more. And he just comes up and he just goes right up your face and scoops that out of there. And Mr. Jacob, he decided to do the same thing, and I just couldn't get up. I just couldn't do it. But I think these were all girls, and she just gives you a nice big slobbery kiss to get that out of there. Shopping, just in curiosity, in case you wondered if it's westernized in any way. This is like, this was a Nakumat. This was the, what was this one, Jacob? Tuskegee's, which is like a Walmart sort of thing over there. Just a little bit, farming supplies and what have you. Sickles and knives and just like right out in the open. Like, buy what you want, you know, like big machetes and all this stuff on this rack here, hard hats and just some construction supplies and so on, appliances, and a good old wheelbarrow. Oh, this here, we were intrigued by that. That's a fry cutter. We were thinking about camp when we saw that. You put the potato in, or not the, yeah, you put the potato in and it cuts them into nice squares. Bikes. This is, it was at a Nakumart. The last time where Heather's mom and dad had this wise idea that grandparents are going to buy their first grandchild his first bike in Africa and send it home with us. And so we did. Dad very graciously took it apart as best he could, put it in her suitcase, and we got to the airport, and the guy says, what you got? Right? Tubing in a bike post 9/11. Like, this was December 9/11, September, right? And Dad convinced him in Swahili to not make us empty our suitcase, and he agreed, and so we didn't have to empty our suitcase, and we got the bike home, and that was an interesting experience. If you've ever been to our place, if you haven't, I apologize. We'll get you there one of these days. These are the hot pots that we have at the house, and I wanted to buy the whole rack and bring them home and distribute them here, but didn't have enough space. Anyways, it was just for the ladies. Cadbury, to your heart is content. They just love Cadbury there, everywhere you look. And we had some chocolate in Germany. It was so good. And in Switzerland, ay, ay, ay. That's how we came home. Went via Germany, came home via Switzerland. Boy, can they make chocolate. Kibbutz Shalom, I just want to talk a little bit about this. So, if you ever feel like your house is too small, these people here have, this corner room is big compared to Kibbutz Shalom. They figure about 1 million people living in there, and I tried to figure out the square footage, the area of it, but I just couldn't get it. But it's probably the biggest and poorest African slum. And so this was coming back from RVA this year, and so this is just a little piece of it. These are little tin shacks, and the government, you can't see them, but the government built them some apartment buildings, and people are so, their thought pattern is so different over there. They, for them to move into, people moved out and sublet them to make money and went back into the slums. So they had running water. They have hydro in Kibera now, but in the apartments, they had running water. They had hydro, sewer, and stuff like that. It was improved living, right? And but in order to make money, they would rather go back into the slum and make a few shillings off of subletting their unit. And so this is just another view as we were zipping by Kibera. So here's Kibera here in this white-red hatch line right in here. This is in a valley. And so this is us coming back from RVA over here. And this is on the way to the airport. Not here, it's way down to the right. But anyways, as you're driving along, there's big buildings, big estates, big houses, some hotels overlooking this valley and the Kibera slum and sewage. And we didn't get a chance to go in there this time, but it's just extreme poverty. Malaria is rampant in there, and there is a gospel work in there. There's the sewer in the streets, garbage in the streets. It's just a really sad situation there. And some people love it. And there's little slums like this all over the place. They just find a little spot and they'll build their little tin shed, and there'll be tons of people living in there. Paul and his family are in the process of having a new... Paul was the guy standing, we were cutting wood. A new house built for them. But where they live is in a goat shed. There was all those kids and the mom and dad. So I think there was the 4 kids. And she was expecting another one. We're living in this little tin shed and a dirt floor. And that was quite happy. I'd talk to Paul and he'd just laugh because he couldn't speak English. And I'd laugh and he would speak Swahili. And so it was interesting. I knew a few words, but not anything to carry a conversation. But, happy people. We've been given fellowship as well by some other believers. And we used that to help them a little bit, and as well as some others in helping in support of them as well. I'll slide in. So the last time we were there in 2001, I got ripped off. I thought I was getting a deal. I went out and bought some pop. Coke is the drink there, right? And so I'd gone out and I wandered away, which I got in trouble for. A white guy in a black country. I was kind of scolded for going off on my own last when we were there. And so I come back with these Coke, right? I'm all happy with my Coke. And I had thought I had got a good deal. And, I come carrying back these bottles. And anyways, I find out I got ripped off. So this time I didn't really get ripped off. I ripped off myself, or in a way, because we had gone to Mombasa, and we got back to the airport in Mombasa and getting ready to leave. And I saw Dad had money in his hand to give to the driver for a tip. And keep in mind, they get about 500 shillings a day. That would be their $5 American. So I see in Dad's hand, I see a couple zeros, right? So he's got the money in his hand. I can see a couple zeros. I thought he's going to give him 1,000 shillings, right? So I beat Dad to give him a tip. So I give him 1,000 shillings. And Heather gets my eye and she says, how much did you give him? And she said, you give him 2. And I said, no, I give him 1. So I pull out another 1,000 shillings and I give him another one. He pocketed it pretty quick. So she says, how much did you give him? I said, I said, 2,000 shillings. What? You're supposed to give him 200 shillings. So I gave him a week's worth of wages in just a matter of a few seconds. But in my mind, right, so I'm still thinking American, right? So I'm buying things, and I'm thinking, wow, that's cheap, right? And giving people tips and so on. And Dad finally says to me, stop thinking in American. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, $20 tip for what? We drove like a half an hour. I'm thinking, $20 tip in Canada for a cabbie, if you're driving a fair distance, isn't a bad tip, right? But to this guy, he just made a pretty good return, right? So anyway, so that was my little experience, and they never let me down. Probably still won't for many years, but so that was interesting. And of course, when you go to get money, so you take $300 American in to the exchanger, and you get 30,000 shillings in return, right? So I got this wad in my pocket. Heather, put that in your pocket. Quit taking that out. Divide it up, right? So $300 isn't much, but when you got a stack of shillings that are this paper shillings, right? It looks like a lot. And to them, 30,000 shillings would be pretty significant. So we won't spend much time here, but we went into the game park, and spent 7.5 hours in there. And it's huge. And these are just some of the critters that we were able to see. Some lions with a fresh kill. Took us a bit of a journey to find them, but we did find them eventually, thankfully to our driver and the drivers he talked to. Some lionesses and probably some cubs chewing away. These are not off the internet. These are real pictures that Heather and the boys took. This fella here was probably, and maybe some mine, he's about 15 feet long, and this was probably, double the length of this building away from where this picture was taken. And Mr. Hippo, or Mrs., one or the other. At first we couldn't even barely see them, just their eyes, and then they were able to poke up for us. This is a pretty bird. That's about all I know about it. These little guys were about that big at one of the rest drops. There's only certain areas you can get out. This is Jacob, I think, snapped this one. That was pretty neat. Jacob or Caleb. Caleb snapped that one. And really neat. Just happened to be looking out, and we looked around the trees, and Caleb had snapped that one for us. So that was pretty neat. Mombasa, Heather taking the picture, obviously. This is at the coast, Indian Ocean, on the east coast, obviously. Somebody recognized there doing a cannonball. This was our resort. More of a reprieve for Mom and Dad, but we got a benefit from it in going down to this beautiful resort. $62 a day, all-inclusive, U.S. $62 U.S. all-inclusive per day per person. So it was just phenomenal. Three pools right on the ocean, all you could eat, and then some, and some you didn't. But it was really neat, really good experience. These little characters here were outside our window every morning. Little vervet monkeys, I believe. I think that's what they were. And they had a habit of stealing, so you didn't leave your patio door open. We weren't culprits of it. We weren't victims. But somebody next door to us, they stole their cigarettes. And Mr. Monkey's out there with a cigarette. I didn't see it, but Mom and Dad apparently saw it. So here he is. He saw somebody, right? And so here he is. And then one of them had stole somebody's mint. And mints are hot. So he pops it in and pops it out. Next one comes and picks it up, thinking, well, he left it. I'll take it. Anyway, so they're quite the characters, and constantly being warned to close our patio doors. This was just a view out from the eating area. We were eating over here. That was a smoking area. We didn't use that. And looking out towards the ocean. This was the, I think it was called the No Stress Zone or Hakuna Matata or something like that. This was overlooking the Indian Ocean out here, and we had our devotionals. I think we had one of our devotionals that morning out on in this area. It was just absolutely beautiful. Swinging chairs and some sofas and so on. Went out into the ocean. You can't really see it well, but in a glass-bottom boat. If you're at all motion sick, don't go out in a glass-bottom boat. So beautiful colors. They're huge, as you can see. This one is a little bit smaller. Jacob's was quite big. They feed them bread, and others feed them other things. But that was looking through the boat. I think they were taking out water pretty much the whole time we were going, using a sponge, decanting water pretty much the whole trip. 25 horsepower motor on a, I don't know, the boat would 20 feet long on an ocean, not a good choice. I swear we were going backwards versus forwards. It was deathly slow. And after you've been sick, you don't want to be heading back 3 miles to shore in a boat that you could row faster. You want to get back to shore pretty quick. As you can tell from Mr. C's facial expression, that was quite the ride there. And Heather was, I don't know if she was scared or just the laugh was more of a cover-up for scared. I don't know, but that was an experience. And then Jacob with the smile, the big grin, and Dad. So that was interesting. This character here, he climbed barefoot. He'd put this thing around his knees, around his feet, and he'd scurry up the tree barefoot. He'd been doing it since he was 10. Get us some fresh coconuts. I didn't throw a picture in, but he'd hack it all up and give us a straw, and we could drink out the milk. This is Titus. He claimed to be a Christian, and so many other pictures. He convinced and roped Jacob into going to their Maasai that night. They were putting on a show, and they roped Jacob into dancing with them. And if you know anything about Maasai, they can stand still. They can jump quite high, and they like to sing and make noises and so on. And Jacob, being the good sport he is, he joined in with their show for us. And if you come over to the house sometime, we'll show you some of those videos. The Indian Ocean sunrise, Heather and Jacob grabbed that, I believe. I think the last day we were there. And this was our boat. Yeah, this was our boat that we went out onto the ocean. And this was in Nairobi National Airport on the way out. And we are home. So that was our trip there. Still a part of us is there, if anybody knows us, would know that. But we enjoyed it. We were thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to go and to try just to help out a little bit in the ministry there, and pray for the ministry still there, and up at RVA at the school, and all the missionary children and non-missionary children that go there, and those that serve these children and serve their parents, so their parents can preach the gospel and minister to the needs of the believers in other places throughout Africa, not just in Kenya, but in other lands there. So that's pretty much it. And we really enjoyed our time, and we appreciated the prayers of all the Lord's people as we went. And it was the Lord's provision being able to go through some of you and being able to minister to those over there as well, and in passing along fellowship that was used for the furtherance of the gospel in some way or another in that way. And then so others gave little gifts as well. Not to forget that. Others gave little gifts and so on to pass along to the kids, and which they were, and some were left and would be distributed afterwards as well. And any that weren't here, just very quickly in closing, any that weren't here on Wednesday, just an update on my treatment. I'll be going for radiation at the end of October. October 26th will be my radiation day, Lord willing, and maybe that'll be the only treatment that I have to get. So any that weren't here on Wednesday, decided to mention that for your benefit and your continued prayer. Thank you for your prayers and for your support in many ways. Just pray as well for Ida and for Lausanne and so many others that are in health needs at this time. So we'll just close in prayer and thank the Lord for his goodness. Our God and loving Father, we thank you so much for your love and care and for all that you've done for us. We thank you for all who have committed their life to serve you in so many places around the world. Some that are in dark places have great influence against the gospel. And we think of them in Kenya and the great influence of the radical Muslims there, and other groups that have a dislike, or even a deeper hatred towards Christians. And so we pray that you would preserve the work of the gospel. We know you will, because you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. You love them. We love them. We know that through Scripture that you love the sinner and hate the sin. And that is for each one of us that are here today, that are believers. And we're thankful that you loved us, but you hated our sin, and it needed to be dealt with, and it was dealt with at Calvary. And that same gospel that is preached here is preached throughout the world. And just thinking now of Kenya, we pray for mom and dad as they would be looking to you for guidance in coming home in April, Lord willing, that you'd give them peace and raise up others to carry the torch in the work that would be on there. We just ask your blessing. Part us now. We thank you for each one that's come along. Pray for those who aren't able to. Think of Ida and Lausanne. We pray your blessing upon them and their health, committing ourselves into your care, giving thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.